I'm so glad you're here. You're here for Hearing God. And I'm thrilled you're here. It's a real honor to be with you, to have a few minutes of your time. It's a privilege I don't take lightly to have a few minutes of your time. You could be in any other workshop. You could be doing anything else today, but you chose to be here. And so my hope and my prayer is that you feel cared for and served in our time together. You know, I know we don't know each other super well yet. We're going to get to know each other a bit. There we go. But let me tell you a little bit about myself. So I'm Leanne. I've been married to my husband for a very long time. We have four kids together, all in their early 20s. Well, I guess not all in their early 20s. They're all in their 20s at this point. I've spent the last 15 years speaking at churches and conferences and retreats, really kind of equipping and coming alongside parents and ministry leaders, talking about how do we pass our faith on to the next generation? So how do we make something invisible, visible, and tangible? This task of passing faith on can sometimes feel a bit overwhelming. And so my hope is always to kind of break it down into these manageable bite-sized pieces with practical tools and strategies that point our kids to Jesus and his incredible love for them. About 9 years ago, I put those talks into a book with a bit of my own story as well. But actually creating these opportunities for both kids and adults to encounter Jesus has always been at the center of what I do. And during the pandemic, I went back to school to study spiritual formation and graduated as a spiritual director in 2022. And for those of you who are curious as to what that is, it's fair. I was too. So spiritual direction really is a relationship that's centered around prayer with a purpose of drawing near to the Spirit of God. It's about the process of spiritual transformation. It's about seeking the Lord together through prayer, in silence, with spiritual practices, in scripture, always following the Holy Spirit's prompting. It's this invitation to actually slow down and to create space to connect with our own soul and with the Lord so that we can intentionally respond to the gifts, the callings, the stirrings that He has placed within us. And that's what we're going to do in our time together today. We're going to talk a little bit about the theory of things, just so we have a framework to work from. But then it's my hope that we can spend the last little bit of our time together doing just that. We're going to have an opportunity to put those things into practice as we slow down and create space so that we can pay attention to our soul and connect with the Lord so that we can respond to His invitations in His still small voice. You know, about 20 years ago, I walked into my very first spiritual direction session, and I was quite unsure as to what I was getting myself into. You see, a friend of mine was finishing her degree at Tyndale, and in order to graduate, she had to run a spiritual direction group, and she couldn't find anybody to sign up for that group. And I was pretty people-pleasy and codependent back then, and I felt bad for her, so I said, oh, I'll join your group, and then secretly hope that she would never call in that favor. Well, she did. You see, I had no idea what spiritual direction was. It sounded really kind of out there to me. I felt skeptical. It certainly wasn't something that my stream of faith was talking about yet. But I trusted her, and I knew that her roots ran deep. Well, she did call in that favor, and it was everything that I never knew I needed. You see, it was in spiritual direction that I began to recognize the voice of God for myself. It was there that I was introduced to spiritual practices that have sustained believers for centuries. You see, I only knew what my stream of faith taught me. I knew go to church, I knew read your Bible, and I knew to pray. Now, these are all really, really good things. Those are the foundational things of our faith. But I was at a point in my life where those things felt a little bit dry. They weren't just hitting me the same way they used to. It felt a bit empty or a bit stale. And I love how Shauna Nequest puts it. She said, describes it like this. It's like I've been eating pizza my whole life, and I love pizza. I just didn't know there was butter chicken and sushi and fish tacos available too. It was in spiritual direction the Lord began to untangle the lies I believed about Him and about myself. It was in spiritual direction that I began to recognize God's voice for myself. It's where I encountered His love and His tenderness and His grace. It's also where I probably encountered true community for the first time, because as I said, it was a group. And so I started this group with a complete stranger who became a very good friend. But it's in this soil of vulnerability, when we're vulnerable with each other, that these beautiful things grow. So I have a verse in Jeremiah that I want to share with you. And it says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me, declares the Lord. And that was my experience in spiritual direction. It changed everything. And it's actually why I feel so passionate about having these conversations. It's about why I feel passionate about helping others learn to recognize the voice of God for themselves. I know what it did for me. It changed everything. And I know what it can do for others. So I just told you the why behind the conversation that we're having today about hearing God. And so over the next hour, there we go, we're going to explore how God has uniquely wired us to hear him, along with some ideas about how do we create an atmosphere to hear God's voice. What are some potential challenges to hearing God's voice? And then I think we all are dying to know, how do we test what we hear? How do we know it's actually Jesus speaking? So after the teaching portion, I'm hoping that we'll have an opportunity to experience a spiritual practice together where we can put these things into practice. Practices that have been a part of our faith history for centuries and have sustained those who have come before us. Please know that Jesus will always be at the center of what we do and that these practices are simply a way to encounter him. You see, just as information teaches us and educates us, experience changes us and forms us. And so my prayer is that you'd walk away from our time together with a greater sense of freedom and understanding and how God has uniquely wired you to commune with him and that you'd experience him for yourself. Can I pray for us? All right. And so, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We know that you are always with us, but we just take a few minutes to remember that. Our desire is to be with you, to encounter you. And so would you lead us in our time together? In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't think that any of us doubt that God speaks. I think we sometimes wonder if he'd actually speak to us. So let me start off by dispelling the myth that God only speaks to a select few of super holy, very spiritual people. Acts 10 says it's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and you're ready to do as he says, the door is open. You see, God has no favorites. As a matter of fact, he's ridiculously partial to each one of us. We're all his favorite. Then how come it seems as God is only speaking to a select few? And not all of us. Well, he is and he isn't. Let me explain it. When Jesus walked the earth, did every person within the sound of his voice hear him? No. Who were the ones who heard him? The ones who were curious? The ones who sought him out? The ones who set aside their time and their things and what they were doing in their homes and workplaces so they could look for him. You see, multitudes heard Christ, but did they always understand what he was saying? No. Why? Well, perhaps one reason might be that they didn't know Jesus intimately. They didn't really know his heart. They didn't know God's heart. So out of all of those who came to hear Jesus, who really understood him the most? Well, his circle of intimate friends, his disciples. They had given their lives and their livelihoods to follow Jesus. They spent as much time with him as they could. And the same is true today. Jesus says in John 10, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know the shepherd's voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know the stranger's voice. So, the sheep are the ones who have committed their lives to the shepherd, Jesus. They seek him and follow him and obey him. These are the ones who hear him best. Why? Because they know him. They have a relationship with him. They trust him. And this is what I know to be true today. Each one of you are here and you've set time aside. You've made room for this in your full schedule. I imagine this probably cost you something, and you put that aside. By being here today, you are seeking after God. And as we walk through this, I have a promise for you straight from Scripture. And I read it to you earlier, but Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me," declares the Lord. You know, when it comes to hearing God, I think many of us already hear him. It's just that we haven't recognized his voice or distinguished it from all the other voices and noise that compete with his or with our time and attention. So let's do an exercise for a second, because you guys have all been very, very attentive. We're going to go quiet for 20 seconds, and I want you just to notice all the things you hear in this room. Okay? So what did you hear? Feel free to yell it out. The HVAC? Okay, what else? Chairs squeaking, the door,
Fans blowing.
fans blowing, a giggle. Anything else? Coughing, breathing, papers rustling. Here's the thing, there's a difference between listening and hearing. You see, all of those sounds were happening the same time as I was speaking, but you didn't notice them because you were focused on what I was saying, right? Because you were listening. You had honed everything else out. You see, learning to discern the voice of God takes practice. It's a life skill. It's honestly kind of like driving. Do you remember when you first learned how to drive? Right? And you checked everything. Like you opened the car door, you sat down, you adjusted the seat, you adjusted the mirrors, you probably put your foot on the brake, and depending on how old your car is, you either pressed a button or you turned the ignition, right? And then you looked both ways, then you very carefully put the car into drive, looked again, gently released your foot off the brake, and put your foot on the gas, and off you went. Right? And I'm sure you've all been somewhere where you've arrived at a certain place after you've been driving for a long time, and you have no memory of how you got there because driving had become so second nature to you, right? It's very similar to, as it comes to hearing God. It becomes second nature to us, but at first, it feels like we're paying attention to every little micro decision. So as we look throughout Scripture, how has God spoken? Feel free to yell it out. In a whisper? Dreams? Prophets? Think to old Sunday school stories. Burning bush. There we go. How else? Angels? Christ, absolutely. Visions? Pillar of cloud, absolutely. Fire, well done. Actions? Thank you. Those are the two I was waiting for. A hand, right? Nebuchadnezzar. And a donkey. There we go. Writing on the wall, creation through a donkey, through prophets, through dreams. So, what's then the key difference between biblical times and today, do you think, as it pertains to hearing God's voice? That's true. There's a lot more voices around. Ah, no donkeys. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing? Okay, I'll give you a hint. What's the difference between kind of just before the end of the Gospels, everything before that, and today? Ah, there we go. The Holy Spirit. We have the complete indwelling. of the Holy Spirit. So God with us. So before then, the Holy Spirit would fall upon people for a moment in time, but then he'd remove his presence, whereas we have God with us, don't we? On the road to Emmaus, the disciples didn't realize they were walking with the risen Jesus. They didn't recognize his voice because it was different. But once he left, they realized who he was, and they said, "Weren't our hearts burning within us?" You know, sometimes hearing God is just that sense of your heart burning within you. You can feel it. Sometimes it's a thought that comes to mind as you sit in silent prayer, while others still hear an audible voice. But we will all hear him a little bit differently. Can I tell you a quick story? Okay. So, thank you. So when my youngest kids were really, really little, so I'm thinking Ella was probably 3, Seth was probably around 1, and I was up in my bedroom doing devotions one morning, and I could hear them kind of coming up the stairs giggling. And so they come into the bedroom, get onto the bed, start jumping on the bed, and so I look at Ella, and I'm like, "Ella, I cannot hear Jesus when you're up here. Take your brother downstairs. I'll be down in a few minutes." And so she looks at me cock-eyed and then takes her brother downstairs. Well, as I'm tucking her in that night, she looks at me and she goes, "Does God really talk to you?" I'm like, "Well, Ella, not like you hear my voice, but like when I'm praying, sometimes thoughts come to mind." And she's very intense and she's like, "Okay, well, do you think God will talk to me?" I'm like, "Ella, why don't you ask him?" So in her most sincere 3-year-old voice, she prays, "Dear God, I want to hear the sound of your voice." And then I start praying, "Oh God, she wants to hear your actual voice." So we're quiet for a few minutes. And then I look up and I said, "Ella, did you hear anything?" And you know how you know when your kids are lying? This wasn't one of those times. And not to be stereotypical about 3-year-old little girls, but what I'm about to say is very stereotypical. I'm like, "Ella, did you hear anything?" And she said, "Yes." I'm like, "What did he say?" He said, "I'm his princess." And if you know anything, well, maybe it was just my girls when they were 3 years old, Disney princesses were their favorite thing in the whole wide world. He spoke to her in a language that she understood. All right, so what I'm going to do is there are some free resources in the back, which I'm just going to start, see if they can start being passed around. I'm happy to email you some free resources that actually have to do with Sacred Pathways. I'll tell you more about those in a second, but if you want those free resources, just leave your email address. I won't spam you. I'll just send you the stuff that you need, along with a few other things we'll be talking about today. Sacred Pathways. Let's talk about this for a second, because this changed everything for me. This is a book written by Gary Thomas. He's written a lot of books. They all start with sacred. But what I liked about this one in particular was this book came out of his own frustration with his own quiet time. And what he was used to doing, whether it was reading scripture and praying, it just wasn't hitting him the same way that it used to. It felt stale. He was longing for a deeper connection with God. And it kind of sent him on this journey to look throughout scripture to see how people throughout scripture had connected with God and how they worshiped him. And then he began to look through church history, and kind of what began to emerge were these like 9 ways that people connected with God throughout history and throughout church throughout history and throughout scripture. And so your personality, we all have a personality, and that's going to tell us how we relate to each other. It doesn't necessarily tell us how we relate to God. This study on spiritual pathways or sacred pathways tells us how God has uniquely wired us to commune with him. And so I'll run them through. This gave me so much freedom to understand how God had wired me. And instead of trying to hear him like a friend of mine heard him, I got to hear him the way that made most sense for me. All right. So we've got the naturalist, loving God through nature. And King David is a good example of this. We have sensates, loving God through the senses. King Solomon. Traditionalists, loving God through rite and ritual. So this could be like if you walk into an old high church, right, like an old Anglican church or a Catholic church, and you're really moved by the symbolism that you see, whether it be the stained glass or the altar or what have you. A few years ago, I had spoken at an Anglican church, and the vicar there was so helpful. And so as we were walking in, he loved explaining all the things to me because I didn't grow up in that tradition. And so as we walk in, we walk through the graveyard. He's like, "Leanne, do you know why we're walking through the graveyard before we get to the front door?" I'm like, no. He's like, because it's a physical reminder that we worship with everyone this morning, those who have come before us and those who are living. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Ascetics, loving God through solitude and simplicity. And John the Baptist is a great example of that. Oh, I went one too far. There we go. Activists, loving God through confrontation. Moses and James. Caregivers, loving God by loving others. Mordecai and Luke. Enthusiasts, loving God with mystery and celebration. Miriam. And contemplatives, loving God through adoration. Moses and Mary at the feet of Jesus. Intellectuals, loving God with the mind. Solomon and John. I mean, if you love a really in-depth Bible study, that could be you. That could be you. So while Jesus accepted the worship of Peter's mother-in-law as she served him, he refused to force Mary, the sister of Martha, to worship him in the same way. She was allowed to express her worship in silence and adoration as she sat at his feet. So knowing our own personal temperaments will tell us how we relate to each other, not necessarily how we relate to God, but this focus on spiritual temperaments is an attempt to help us understand how best we relate to God so that we can develop new ways of drawing near to him. And so what I'm going to leave up here for you, if you want to, it's a QR code. Normally, if we had more time, I'd pass these out to you. You could do it. You could discuss it with your table, and we could pull these apart for a minute. But it's just an assessment. So you can do the Sacred Pathways assessment. And what's really helpful is you'll probably have a top two or three that'll kind of rise to the surface. And it doesn't mean that somehow that you got to develop the ones that are less. It's just telling you how God has uniquely wired you to kind of commune with him. And so how this kind of plays out sometimes is sometimes we think that because we know somebody who hears God this way, we must hear God that way too. And so I'm hoping it gives you a lot of freedom for how God has uniquely wired you. Now, part of the free resources is that I've got a bunch of, it's like a resource. Why is this so hard to explain? Just some ideas and thoughts of how you can feed that sacred pathway. All right. So it'll be there for all nine of them. And then if you did the assessment, you're like, oh, I want to see what this is like. I want to see how we can explore. If I'm a naturalist, how I can explore more of these. It'll give you some ideas and thoughts on how to feed those pathways. All right. Okay. So how do we create an atmosphere to hear God's voice? Well, your sacred pathway is going to play a big role in determining the most favorable environment for you. Think about what naturally inspires you, what naturally draws you to God. And so for those of you who love nature, maybe being outside is what you're going to want. For those who are contemplative, like a quiet spot with minimal distractions. But whatever you choose, try and find a place that doesn't have as many distractions and where you're physically comfortable. I have a friend who clearly hears God when she's out running every morning. Another friend while she's in her drive to work. The atmosphere will look different for each person. And just like our relationships we have all look different too, so will our own personal relationship with Jesus. Our relationship with God is unique, and so we've got to stop comparing our relationship with God to somebody else's. You know, when you're discerning the voice of God, especially when you're first learning, listen carefully. It's important that we eliminate and quiet all the noise around us and all the other voices that compete with God's still small voice. Now, I think we know what I all mean by environmental noise, right? TV, music, phones, whatever it is that distracts you. But what do I mean by other voices? I can't be the only one who hears other voices, right? We all do. According to Scripture, there are three voices that compete with the voice of God. And Paul talks about them in Ephesians 2. He calls them the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they were all present, actually, at the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. You see, they had their own voice and their thoughts, their flesh. They had the voice of their mate, their friend, the world. And then there was the voice of the snake, the devil. And we're still dealing with those voices today, right? We have our own voice, our own internal thinking and rationalization. We have the voice of others, right? Of friends and family, social media that kind of swirl around in our brain. And then we have the voice of the enemy, Satan and his demons. So then how do we quiet and eliminate these voices? Well, we pray and we ask Jesus to do just that. Here's the thing, listening prayer is an act of faith, right? We trust that God will do that for us. And so often I'll pray something very simple like this. Lord Jesus, in this moment, I surrender myself to you, my own thoughts and my own voice. I ask you, Jesus, to deal with the other voices of other people and the enemy on my behalf. Remove all that is not of you. And I ask for your protection, Lord, as we pray. There's nothing magical about the prayer. You can pray it however you want. But it just really is asking Jesus to silence those voices for us. And after these voices have been quieted and eliminated, you'll find how much easier it is to discern the voice of God. It's like trying to talk to a friend in a busy pub versus a quiet coffee shop. So here are a few more thoughts on creating an atmosphere to hear God's voice. If you're having trouble kind of calming the internal distractions inside your own brain, that's okay. Lots of us have really busy brains, and our brains have been made beautifully different. And so sometimes just having a pad of paper beside you where you can write those things down, right? Just to give them an exit. Often for me, it'll be mom things that come up, right? Like, don't forget to pick up milk. Don't forget to send an email to so-and-so. And so instead of it being in my brain, I can just put it over here. Sometimes even just closing your eyes and taking some deep breaths. I mean, here's the thing. God is the breath of life. He breathed life in us. Deep breaths do incredible things to your body. It helps to silence all the things that are going in and around us, right? Our heart rate slows down. Our blood pressure drops. Stress and anxiety are reduced. Our posture and lung function and blood quality improves. And that's just by breathing. And sometimes even just bringing your internal dialogue down to one or two words. So something like Redeemer, Redeemer, or maybe you are holy. You are holy. It's just like a decrescendo, bringing it right down to silence. And then once it's quiet, ask the Lord one question. Something like, Jesus, is there anything you want to tell me right now? And then we pause and listen for a response. And if nothing comes, we wait and we try again. You know, so often when we're listening, we're in listening prayer. If we can take the time to let our thoughts kind of surface to the forefront of our mind and write those down without editing them, it'll be much easier for us. So often when we're in listening prayer, we're trying to listen and test at the same time. You can't actually do that. It's like trying to write an essay and edit it at the same time. So like I said, listening prayer is an act of faith, right? So you're stepping out in faith. And so just write down the first things that come to mind. And then you're going to test them after you're done. All right? We always test. So let's talk about a few challenges to hearing God's voice or potential challenges. The reality is this. God is God. Nothing stands in his way. But sometimes things can feel a little staticky or cloudy for us. And so these are just things to consider if you're having a hard time. And so sin would be one of them, right? Here's the thing. We're prone to wander. And we're prone to sin. And so just keep those accounts short. Make things right when they need to be made right. Our attitude or preconceived ideas about how God speaks will also impact how we are able to hear him. Busyness. It's really hard to multitask hearing God. It does kind of require our focus, undivided attention. You know, unforgiveness. I am by no means advocating blanket forgiveness. I think forgiveness is a process. I don't think forgiveness always equals reconciliation. And I think sometimes it's just about a conversation between you and Jesus about being willing to begin the process of forgiveness sometimes. You know, our beliefs about God and ourselves will also impact how we hear God. You know, I had a really warped view of God and a really warped view of myself. Now, I didn't know that. If I had known that, I probably would have fixed it. This is the thing with warped views. You don't know they're warped until someone points them out to you. I knew that God loved me, but I always felt like he was slightly disappointed in me and that I couldn't quite measure up to his expectations or that I wasn't worthy of being entrusted with anything of significance, of value, certainly not anything of spiritual value. The problem was that these things kind of kept me stuck. And so I was afraid to step out into anything. And I can remember one morning when my kids were little, and I promise you my Bible just fell open to this passage. I don't think I was looking for it. But there was this one scripture that really jumped out to me, and it says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart, and he gently leads those with young." You see, I had a lot of accusation in my head about the kind of mother that I was and the kind of person that I was, and that what were the chances my kids were ever going to love Jesus if I was their example. And it was just relentless, but it was always background noise. And I remember once I read this piece of scripture, it was all of a sudden something clicked. And the image that came to mind is, you know, when kids first learn how to walk, right? What do? We celebrate every step they take. We're not mad they can't keep up with us. We're not mad that we have to slow down. We don't mind helping them back up. We're just celebrating every step. And I began to realize that's exactly how God saw me. And so sometimes our beliefs about ourselves, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more when we go into testing things, can really impact how we hear God. Now, none of these things are actual obstacles for God. It's just places where he gets to bring healing. You know, earlier I talked about how our attitude can also, or preconceived ideas about how God speaks, how that can make it hard for us sometimes. I'm going to give you a quick example because I think most of us can relate to this. I got up one morning, and my husband had gotten up earlier, and he was sitting in front of the fireplace. So you know how when you wake up some morning, you can feel when somebody else is mad? Yeah, he was frustrated. And so I come downstairs. I'm like, "Hey, how are you?" And he's like, "I'm so frustrated. I've been praying about this one specific thing. I've been sitting here in silence for the last 45 minutes, and I hear nothing." I'm like, "Yeah, it's frustrating." And so he went down to the basement. He was working from home at that time. And when his computer comes on, worship music comes on at the same time. And I guess he turned that on. About 5 minutes later, he comes back upstairs sobbing. Because James hears God through worship music. His wife hears God through silence and solitude. He was trying to hear God how I hear God, but actually that's not how he's wired. And so this is why I think being able to look at our sacred pathways will give us a lot of freedom as well. All right, the big question. How do we know it's God speaking? I think that's the question we all are curious about. Can we get there? Yep. It requires us to know the truth about God. You see, what you believe about God in yourself will impact your ability to hear God clearly. You know, a friend of mine tells a story about how she was praying with a friend. And her friend was having a hard time hearing God's truth. And so my friend just encouraged her, like, just write down what you're hearing. Don't edit it. Just write it down. You see, God was bringing to mind this phrase to this woman: "You are delightful." And do you know why she was having such a hard time accepting that truth? Was because she had grown up with a father who was verbally abusive and criticized her. And so her earthly father never took any delight in her, and she couldn't figure out how her heavenly father could possibly delight in her in any way. So do you see how sometimes God might be speaking to us, but our own filters and beliefs actually distort or even block us from clearly understanding God's thoughts towards us? Now, there was a breakthrough for this woman, and she was able to stop being the judge of herself and let God be the judge of her. So often, God speaks very positively and affirms us, but we just can't believe that he would ever think that way about us because we don't think that way about us. And so let's let God be the judge of us, not us. You know it's God speaking when what you sense aligns with Scripture. All right? You know it's God speaking when what he says aligns with Scripture. You know it's God when what he says aligns with his character. So what are some words that align that are God's character?
Love.
Peace. Holy.
Kindness.
Unconditional. Compassion. If you're ever unsure what some of those character words are, if God is love, then 1 Corinthians 13 is a great passage, right? That means he's patient, he's kind, he's not easily angered. Now, if you're trying to hear God's voice and words come to you that sound like nagging or scolding or accusation or words that make you feel guilt-ridden, that's not God. God's Spirit will challenge us and will convict us, but with a distinct absence of shame and guilt, just genuine remorse. He's always kind and courteous. As a matter of fact, Scripture says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And so if you're feeling accused or condemned, that's what the Bible calls Satan, the accuser. And so you're welcome to take a picture of this if this helps you. I can also send it to you with the free resources too. But God's voice stills you. Satan's voice rushes you. God's voice leads you. Satan's voice pushes you. God's voice reassures you. Satan's voice frightens you. God's voice enlightens you. Satan's voice worries you. God's voice calms you. Satan's voice obsesses you. God's voice convicts you. Satan's voice condemns you. You know it's God speaking when what you sense is accompanied by a sense of peace and rest, a settledness in your own spirit. Now it's always, God is not the author of confusion or agitation. He's the Prince of Peace. You know it's God speaking when what you sense might be a new truth or a revelation or an epiphany, always aligning with Scripture though, okay? Always aligning with Scripture. But it might be a deeper insight to a truth you already knew. We were down walking by the water a while ago, and we were at the beach, and it was just a sense of like, oh, this water is just like God's love. You can just get your toes wet, and that's if that's the far you want to go in, that's fine. I mean, or you can like go in right up to your waist if you wanted to, or you could dive right in and immerse yourself in his love. It's all available to you. So it may just be a deeper insight to something you already knew. You know it's God speaking when what you sense might cause you to wrestle internally. Well, that's confusing, Leanne, because you just said it gave you a sense of peace. So I'm going to explain it. You know it's God speaking when what you sense might cause you to wrestle internally. Now, Moses is such a great example of this in Exodus 3 and 4. You see, when God spoke to Moses in the burning bush and called him to lead his people out of Egypt, Moses gave God every reason why he was the wrong person for the job. Are you sure you have the right person? You know I stutter, right? Will they believe that you sent me? I don't speak well. Like Moses, when the right thing to do comes to mind, and yet I find myself arguing it in my head, it might be a big clue that the Holy Spirit is prompting me. All right? So when the right thing to do comes to mind, and I find myself arguing it in my head, it might be a big clue the Holy Spirit is prompting me. On that same trail down by the lake, I was walking one morning, and I'd walked by this Tim Hortons cup that was on the bench. And as I walked by it, it was just a sense of, oh, Leanne, pick it up and throw it in the garbage. And so I kept walking, because I live in Scarborough. I'm not picking that up. And I kept going. Well, then I come back on the same path, and again, this sense of, hey, like, throw out the coffee cup. So I kept walking, because again, I don't know what's in that cup. And then a third time, Leanne, could you just throw out the coffee cup? And so I go back, pick it up. It was empty. There was nothing scary in the cup. Throw it out. But I think so often we expect God to have this big, profound word for us. And sometimes it's just throw out the trash or put the cart back, right? It's these small things, these small acts of obedience that I think he often will ask us to do. And yet we expect these big, grand instructions. You know it's God speaking. What you think he's saying to you is confirmed externally by others or by situations. And so I always say this with a caution. When people say things to you like, oh, God told me this, please always test it. You know, there's a posture about hearing God, and there's a posture of humility. And I think even when we pray, and when God brings someone to mind, and we feel like we have something to share with them, Instead of saying, God told me this, perhaps you could say, hey, I was praying for you. And as I was praying, this was the sense that I had. Could you test this and see if this fits? And if it doesn't, just let it fall by the wayside. And so be careful with this, but sometimes God will confirm what he's saying to you through others or through different situations. And so look for those arrows and where those arrows are pointing. Sometimes we think God's going to give us a grandiose word, when in reality it may just be a simple instruction, like rest or pick up that cup and throw it out. You see, God's voice and his words to us are often not what we expect. In Kings 19, the Lord passes by Elijah, who is standing on the mountain. You see, Elijah was expecting God to be in the whirlwind, then the earthquake, and then the fire. But instead, God was in a gentle. Here's the thing. You can't whisper to somebody across the room. You can only whisper to someone who's very close to you. All right, so you guys doing okay? It's a lot of theory up front, so I apologize for that. But I wanted to give us a good framework to work from. We're going to put some of this into practice. We've got about 20 minutes, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through a spiritual practice. For some of you, this might be familiar. For others of you, it might be brand new. But I think what I'm going to walk you through, you can use this with any passage of Scripture. Okay, so you can use this with anything. We're going to do it with one that's going to be very familiar to you. You guys game if we do it? Okay, all right. I'm just going to pray for us. And do you mind if I just kind of help us transition? Because we are going to be slowing down, which is going to feel like highway fever. And like there will be moments of silence in between. So it'll be about 60 seconds of silence in between. But it may feel like 20 because we're not used to silence in a group. Okay? So you might want to use your phone just to take notes for this, or a pen and paper, okay? All right, I'm going to just pray for us. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are here, that you are leading us. And so we ask that in your mercy, you just wash over us, remove all that is not of you. Would you shut down the kingdom of darkness in and around us, and would you give us sanctuary? Our desire is to be with you. And so would you silence every other voice that competes with yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to do a contemplative reading of Scripture. And so I'm just going to read it over you. It's going to be very familiar. We're going to walk through. There will be four prompts. After each prompt, there'll be about a minute of silence just for you and the Holy Spirit to kind of think about the things. Don't worry about that one yet. I just want to read it to you first. I jumped ahead. Sorry. But I'm going to read it to you. And typically in this kind of a reading, so often we read to gain more information, right? A contemplative reading is different in that we're not necessarily reading to gain more information. We're reading to encounter Jesus, to encounter God through his holy word. Okay? All right. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so I'm going to read it a second time. And this time I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to draw your attention to a word, a phrase, or an image. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So ask the Lord to draw your attention to a word, a phrase, or an image. I'm going to read it a third time. And this time, ask the Holy Spirit, why are you drawing my attention to this word, this phrase, or this image? So why are you drawing my attention to this word, this phrase, or this image? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So ask the Holy Spirit, why are you drawing my attention to this word, this phrase, or this image? I'm going to read it one last time. And this time, ask the Lord, what do you want to tell me about this? Is there anything you're inviting me to do? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so ask the Lord, what do you want to tell me about this? Is there anything you're inviting me to do? Amen. Amen. So why don't you take a few minutes? We don't have a whole lot of time, but we have about 3 minutes, and just chat about this with the people at your table, kind of what the practice was like for you, what you sensed, what you liked, what you struggled with, but have that conversation with the people at your table for a few minutes. All right, we're going to bring it back together to the larger group again. I know you just got started with sharing. But do you have any questions or any thoughts about this that you'd like to share with the larger group before we wrap this up? Any thoughts or any questions about that? So you can use those same three questions with really any piece of scripture. It's just a different way of engaging with scripture. So let's wrap this up. Prayer, connecting with God, hearing God, it's about relationship. It's about intimacy. It's about wholeness. You know, the most repeated phrase in scripture is, "He who has ears, let him hear." Hearing God takes practice, and it's okay to practice. And it's okay to get it wrong. I think we expect ourselves to be instantly really, really good at this. And actually, we have to grow into these things. There's an Old Testament prophet. His name's Abacus. I think he's in the Old Testament. He was wrong 40% of the time. And he's called a prophet. And so I say this because it's okay when we're practicing, we're learning to hear God's voice. It's okay when we get it wrong, right? And so be gracious with yourself, be gracious with others. Listening, prayer, and hearing God takes practice. We're allowed to be beginners. We don't have to be proficient at it for it to count. Listening, prayer is an act of faith as we step out and trust that He will speak to us. Listening, prayer is also an act of humility. It's a posture of humility. It's about offering somebody something to test. Not the Lord told me. You know, today we talked about how God has uniquely wired us to hear Him, along with some ideas on how to create an atmosphere to hear God's voice, and then how do we test what we hear, and then we got to walk through one practice. I'm going to share the next few slides with you pretty quick, but I'm happy to send you these as part of the, part of the free resources. So if you're looking for more things like this, where they have these opportunities to kind of walk through these practices, the Reimagine Examine app is amazing. Lectio 365 is great. Sacred Pathways book by Gary Thomas. Both of these books are really beautiful too. If you especially are drawn on a visual person, it has both a piece of artwork and a prayer that goes with them. Both of those authors are spiritual directors as well. If you like to read, the Sensible Shoes series is a really kind of gentle and friendly way of kind of explaining spiritual direction through the story of these four women and how their path crosses in a spiritual director's office. I have tons of free resources on Instagram, and so you're welcome to use them. They're just under all the videos. They're there. They're also on YouTube, too, if that's easier for you. You understand this. Okay. Also, if you're interested in spiritual direction, if you're curious about it, please reach out. I'd be happy to chat with you about it. And you're also, if it's something you're interested in, you're welcome to book a free exploratory session too. There's no strings attached. You can just get a taste of what it's all about and then decide from there too. I think I have one more slide for you as well. Oh, that's how we can connect. If you're looking for where I am, those are the places you can find me. Friends, you're wired for this. He's lovingly created you, uniquely designed you to commune with Him. He's speaking. May you be able to turn down the distractions and to be still and to know so that you can notice His whispers,
God, loving,
and intentionally
like
respond to the
look,
gifts,
accepting your quirk,
the stirring,
accepting
the calling,
the
nudging
God, and so
that He's placed
that
within
love,
you.
Loving yourself is honoring God. Because you're
Thank
honoring
you.
Your loving His creation. That's a philosophical question.